RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice and Arrow Podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. This week, we're going to run around like crazy people looking to see if we can find where's Argus? That's what we're going to play this week.
Oh, where's Argus?
Yeah. Gotta find them before they get snatched, and discuss some other, just odd things, that happened in an Arrow show that I don't think have happened before. It's, there was a lot of interesting stuff going on. I'm interested to know your feelings about, the episode. Like, just a rough sketch. You like it, didn't like it? What did you think about what was going on this week?
That's what you want to know, or you want me to tell you right now?
Oh yeah, just give me a rough idea right now. We'll get into it deeper into the episode here.
I enjoyed watching this episode. I had a lot of fun watching this episode. There were some great things to talk about and think about. But you know, nitpicking as we do, there were a few things that I'm like, I don't know. So, but we could talk about those. It didn't detract from my enjoyment of this. You know, there's been, over the 5 years, there's been, a few episodes that maybe have detracted from my enjoyment, but this was not one of them.
Yeah.
So
I think you meant season four. well, either one, take your pick. I didn't think it was their strongest show that they could have had coming back from hiatus.
100% agree about that.
It does feel like it's the setup for the last group of shows. It definitely sets the stage, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
I wish there would have been a better boom as they came back. You know, just a stronger...
There was a boom at the end. There was a big boom at the end.
Well, there you go. See, that would have been a good cliffhanger to put the... To put the little hiatus on there, but yeah.
You're right. The hiatus would have been nice, but I think I was happy where the hiatus left us for that. So
sure.
Why don't you tell people a little bit about the name and details in this episode, and then we'll get on to the discussion.
Okay. Well, this was the episode was called Les Liaisons Dangereuses. No, that's the French version, isn't it? That's
en anglais, please.
Oh, en anglais. Okay. Dangerous Liaisons. So from season 5, episode 19, which was April 26th.
You don't know 19 in French, Mr. Smarty Pants.
No. Dang it. You caught me off guard. I do. I'd have to probably count up to 19 to figure it out.
19.
19. Oh, wait, is that right? Oh, okay.
Sacre
bleu. Well, anyway, it's been a long time since I was in high school.
Yeah.
This episode was written by Speedweed and Elizabeth Kim, directed by Joel Novoa. Novoa. Oh.
Novoa. Well, yeah. Hey, new. I haven't seen him before. So.
If you have a problem with a vengeful killer that wants you dead for murdering his father, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, or your vigilante partner is married to the leader of the whole group, maybe you can hire the Argus team.
Wait, didn't we do this like last season?
Yeah, we did. That's why I didn't do the whole intro. You know, I was just sort of, but that's what they did. You know, they needed some help, so they hired some mercenaries ish.
Yeah, there you go.
But now that Lila and Argus are helping Team Arrow look for Adrian Chase, you know, you'd think they could catch him pretty fast. But that Prometheus.
You would think that.
You would think that. I would think that. They thought that. But that Prometheus is pretty darn wily and ruthless. Ruthless. I mean, who sacrifices a retro arcade to trap your enemy, destroying vintage games in the process? What a madman.
I really hope that was a reproduction because
I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah, don't get me started on that.
Well, it actually turns out that, you know, he did have some help in Argus. But before they can get to him, Hive has – you remember our friends at Hive, Felicity friends at Hive.
Helix.
Helix. Why did I say Hive? That's a completely
different – Oh, my gosh.
Different...
You're seasons now. So.
Oof. This is what hiatus is due to me. See, sorry. I said Hive. I've been thinking that all week. Helix. Felix's.
You got hives on your hiatus. That's what
happened. You know what? I'm just going to say those other people, they stepped in to get something. They accidentally kill their only lead that they had.
Whoops.
Yes. The guy from Terminator 2 that worked. No, that really wasn't him, but he kind of looked like him.
It did look like him, didn't it?
It did
look like Joe Morton.
It was just my first thought. Wasn't even the same actor.
I thought
actor
that
or
too. No, anyway, it was not the same actor, but it did
I'm
look like Joe Morton. Yeah,
going off on random tangents. Forgive me, I've been sick. Anyway, Helix stepped in, accidentally killed this guy that they needed to find that could help them lead to Prometheus. That's a bad thing. But Felicity's hacker friends have convinced her that once they have what they need, she is definitely, for sure, 100% this time, no joke, be able to catch Chase. True, I'm not kidding. But Oliver and the team aren't too keen on Helix methods, and they don't want Felicity to have any part of it. Well, tough, she says. She's going to big fat do it anyway. So.
Was she like seven?
Well, you know, she gets emotional. So she and her techie cronies go after a prisoner that Argus is holding illegally. So Oliver and the team, had to add an adjective. Oliver and her team go after her, but they fail to stop them, which was very impressive on their part. This creates a little tension between Felicity and Oliver, not to mention Diggle
just
and Lila.
Just a smidge.
A little. And not to mention Diggle and Lila there too, because they highly disagree on Argus's methods of keeping people safe, regardless of the cost. Will all this be solved by itself now that Felicity has what she needs to stop Prometheus and end the madness? Of course not. There's still four more episodes left.
Yeah. So this is one of the few episodes of Arrow that doesn't have a bad guy in it. Chase was actually not in this episode at all. They just kept talking about him, which I thought was kind of an interesting way to go about doing everything, just given the fact that, you know, we need to build this guy up. He's even more of a madman. It's like, what do you think? He's going to leave the country? And they're like, you know, no, he hasn't finished his job. It's like,
wait, how
do
you know
that?
And
it's like, it's a hunch.
You know, this guy, I know this guy, I saw it online.
Well, sir, the city needs more than some guy online to take care of it. So
I got to thinking kind of where Chase could plausibly be at this point. And, you know, what I was thinking is, first of all, up until Felicity got that intel on him and was able to kind of make it public, he had the upper hand. He had a plan. He knew everything that was going to happen, and he was 10 steps ahead of them, I think they said, up until that. Now, once he was kind of ID'd, he wasn't worried, but I don't think he had a backup plan, or, you know, I don't think he had a course of action from that point. So I think he's kind of regrouping, gathering what he needs. Obviously, he got some Argus support from that guy and some information that they needed, and so that, to me, that could be a plausible explanation as to why he hasn't been around for a little bit.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting that they didn't need to show him to keep the. I think there was definite tension involved in this, but let's get. We got a little bit of news, and then let's get back into the discussion topics. First thing that we found out during hiatus here, I think this came in beginning of the month here, April 5th. It turns out Stephen Amell will be a contestant on the first ever episode of American Ninja Warrior. So he's going to be one of nine celebrities that are going to compete in the event. And yeah,
the first episode of a new Ninja Warrior, or
of a celebrity.
Well, my wife will totally love this idea.
Yeah, it says Erica Christensen, Derek Huff, Natalie Morales, two-time Olympic gold medalist Ashton Eaton, Nikki Glaser, former Yankee Nick Swisher, comedian Jeff Dye, and Mina Suvari. Mina Suvari? Really? Wow.
Wow.
That'll be interesting. And he says, I'm doing hashtag American Ninja Warrior with master ninja coach, the mighty Casey Catanzaro, May 25th on NBC. You will be entertained.
Huh.
So
this is...
I don't go in for these shows, really, but that's
really
interesting.
You know what? My family loves American Ninja Warrior. They watch it all summer long. They've already started. There's like a Team Ninja Warrior going on right now or something. And
you should watch Ultimate Beastmaster on Netflix then.
That one looks cool.
It's the one that's produced by Sylvester Stallone. It actually is quite entertaining. There's some interesting stuff going on. But again, normally I don't go on for this stuff. But
Well, to me, it seems like Stephen Amell's a natural for this because he's been doing the parkour and the training for years. So
yeah, definitely.
That'll be fun. Well, the other thing I wanted to kind of mention, now you and I have been off of this show for about a month. But within that time, we've been very busy. We've done a lot of things. Our other show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., has still been on. So we've got a few episodes in there during that time. But you and I actually got to see each other face to face and hang out a little bit. And we recorded a S.H.I.E.L.D. show, but we were down in Orlando, Florida for the Star Wars celebration. So having a good time down there. It's a Star Wars convention, but when you go down on the exhibit floor and they have merchant booths, there's, of course, a lot of Star Wars stuff, but there's other vendors as well. And as you were walking around the vendor floor one day, there was a booth that had a set of real nice pins. You know, there's a lot.
They really caught my eye.
Yeah, a lot of pin collectors out there. Pins are awesome. I love collecting pins. I kind of have the bug. And this was a company that made pins that do DC comic characters, right?
Yeah, these little 2-inch full body, you know, it's the whole body of the character in 2 inches. So it's not just like a head like some people do. And I saw these DC characters. So I was like, ooh, I bet they've got Arrow. Yep. And the Flash. So I got you a Flash for the Scarlet Velocity show and got myself an Arrow. So, and then I got to talking with the guys and turns out we had a lot of mutual interests and stuff like that. Well, their company is like, I don't know, within like 10 miles of where you are, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. We found that out kind of at the end of the weekend that they're not too far from me. So, based here in the Denver area, it's a company called Fan Sets and they make these pens, like we said, and it's fantastic quality of artwork. And they have a variety of characters and it is growing rapidly. They have a lot of plans for some new
quite
ones.
Quite rapidly.
And we wanted to announce that Fan Sets is working with Green Justice to help us have a little contest for all the listeners.
Yeah.
So we've teamed up with Fan Sets to allow listeners to win one of three different Arrow character pins. As you mentioned, they're 2 inches tall. And like I said, heavy kind of metal pins, high quality. And all you have to do to enter this contest is tweet a phrase. Okay? So this is the phrase you want to tweet. So listen closely here. It's, I want to win a hashtag Arrow pin from at Green Justice and at Fan Sets. So you tweet that phrase out there. Kind of get the word
out. I tweeted
out.
That.
You did that. Thank you. And then all you got to do is follow both us, Green Justice and Fan Sets on Twitter to be eligible. So
cool.
Yeah, that's it. You know, we'll select the winners at random from all the entries that we receive, and we'll contact them at the conclusion of the contest. So the contest started on April 26th, which was the return of Arrow from the hiatus. So that's when that was.
Yep.
And it will go through Wednesday, May 10th at noon Eastern time. So, you know, one entry per person, but tweet that out there. Get the word out about Green Justice, of course, but Fan Sets, who's a fantastic company who has a lot of great things to come. So we encourage you guys to kind of follow them and see what they got, because they were kind of telling you and I some of the plans that they had coming up, and it got
sounds
me
cool. Yeah,
totally, totally excited. I mean, the stuff they got now got me excited, and then they told me what they what they're hoping to do in the near future, and I'm just totally stoked. And like I said, I have the pin bug already, so I can't wait to get any more of these. So
besides but DC characters they've got, they've also got a license for Star Trek, Harry Potter, Serenity, and Aliens. And they're making more of all of these things. They're just really cool looking stuff. You can check out their website, see, and you can order whatever you want off their website as well. But you know, we're trying to give away three different Arrow pins. But if you don't win, you can always go to their website and purchase one there if you want.
That's right. So if you want the full details of the contest, you can get that at randomchatter.com/arrowpin.
Arrow hyphen pin.
Arrow hyphen pin. I was going to say, you have to put the little dash in there, don't you? So it's
randomchatter.com
randomchatter.com/arrow-pin. So you can find the details there, and of course, go over to Twitter and our Facebook page, of course, and you'll find some information over there too. So,
yep, you can find it all there. All right. Well, as you mentioned earlier, the name of this particular episode of Arrow is based off of that 1988 film with Glenn Close, John Malkovich, and Michelle Pfeiffer, Les Lesions Dangereuses. Also, actually, technically, I guess it's based off that 18th century novel that came before it.
Oh, was that before the John Malkovich movie? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was like 200 years before it.
Oh, okay.
So it was close. And it's not necessarily about the episode is not necessarily about what the film's about, because the film's about the kind of these sexual power games that get played between these elite characters. Characters manipulating one another for pleasure, like manipulating them cruelly for their pleasure. But I do think...
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, I think Felicity is having some dangerous liaisons. I mean, liaison in terms of, you know, connections or meetings with, you know, of her own with Helix and stuff like that. I think there is a little bit of a connection and using characters for personal gain. I mean, you know, Helix is definitely using Felicity and stroking her ego and manipulating her to get what they need. And then when they're done, they just kind of dump her on the side of the road.
Sure. But I think there was some other kind of power games going on between characters too, not sexual power games. That would have changed the episode entirely, but
yeah.
But you know, between what Lila is doing at Argus and you know, what Diggle and Oliver agree with, and you know, Felicity's trying to use Helix, and she keeps calling him Hive, and they don't like that, you know, and so there's all kinds of weird stuff going on in there.
Yeah. Well, and previously we've talked about what would Felicity be if she was a superhero? Well, if I had to pick one DC character Felicity to be or to become, it would be the Dumb Bunny, which is a member, a member of the Inferior Five.
I believe it.
Yeah. I don't know. What they've done to this character now is probably the thing that I like least about Arrow season 5.
I am going to have to agree with you on that.
Her intelligence and her ability to be blinded by Helix's use of her, you know, like wrongful use of her, or, you know, use in terms of, you know, negative use. It's just devastatingly horrible. It's blatant and obvious, but I think it does kind of, they do address it a little bit here, and she feels she's doing the right thing for the right reasons. Right. And that's part of the whole, direction of the episode, the part of the theme of the episode and stuff like that, that she is single-mindedly about catching Adrian Chase. And it doesn't matter who she's got to, metaphorically, get in bed with to get it done. She will make those sacrifices and those questionable judgment calls in order to bring down this horrible, horrible person. You know, and it's not like Helix really is doing anything worse than Team Arrow has ever done, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean,
you can say right now, it's like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. They're using Felicity to crack into Argus and the FBI and make this stuff and, like, you know,
done the same thing.
Do these evil things, and it's like, well, you know, Team Arrow is—they've been vigilantes for 5 years. They're not sanctioned, and Felicity hasn't necessarily been the one responsible in a lot of these cases. But she would be as culpable as anybody else if you know they had gotten caught for any of these things.
Yeah.
And it's not like she's never hacked into Argus before.
No, but let me kind of tell you my frustration with this storyline. It's just, first of all, it just seems a little too unFelicity for me. Number one, I mean, she used to be the one that would talk common sense into the team when they had start to cross a line, you know, whether Oliver was going with Ra's al Ghul or whether he was going to team up with somebody, you know, Malcolm or whatever it was he was doing. She was always the one that would finally go, no, stop. She was the mother. We've talked about this forever. She was kind of at points the leader of the team.
She was the conscience of the team and gave the good advice.
You know, either that or the rest of the team is just really, really bad at talking common sense into Felicity when, you know, she was much better at it. But, the other thing, I mean, and again, this, I can see where she would get to this point, but I don't know that they really developed it enough for her to do it. And here's what I probably think would have worked better. And I'll say again, I am not as clever as these writers, and this may not have worked, but it's just kind of in my head, it would have fit better. And maybe watching it all in a season, like binge watching the whole thing, it would fit better. But, okay. So
yeah, that's probably true.
She had a boyfriend at the beginning of the season. What was his name? Bobby Malone? Was that it? Detective Malone?
Billy
Malone. Okay. And, you know, she had this relationship with this guy, and obviously, you know, it went bad, when Oliver accidentally killed him. If they had spent more. Okay, I maybe understated that a little bit, but if they had spent more of the season developing their relationship, making him a more of a regular character and getting the audience to really like the guy, you know, see him as a hero, see him as a honorable person, and then really developing that relationship so she truly loved him. And then when Prometheus manipulated his death, it would have meant more to us as an audience watching her go through this. And so I can see her doing something this desperate if she'd had that connection. But to me, it just seemed like, oh, this was just this guy that she was dating. We saw him a couple times. He didn't really talk much. He died. She was sad. And then it was Team Arrow again. I mean,
move on. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and again, I'm not criticizing the writing. I just think that might have made me buy into this unFelicity-like behavior a little bit more.
Well, she did go through a whole dialogue here with Oliver about the fact that, you know, the thing that she's always liked about him, and I can't really say that this is true or not. I don't recall them really talking about this a lot, but was the fact that, you know, he would do whatever it took to get, but you know, to bring people to justice.
Yeah.
And you're right. This may be a little this is kind of playing into goth Felicity area, I think, you know, like older Felicity, because she's like, oh, he's so complex and he's so bad. You know, it's like, I feel like it's the 13-year-old's ideal of what a cool boyfriend is. That's what attracted her. And so then she's like, so of course, like, I would be like that. Like, just because you like something in somebody else doesn't mean that's a value that you adhere to. so I felt that was a little weird, just the fact that that was her excuse for, you know, pulling out all the stops.
Well,
the
not
no
only that,
what,
but this is the stuff that she used to tell him not to do.
Well, but that's the whole thing. When did Billy die? Like episode 5 or something like that. So like the last 12 episodes have been her, you know, going, well, maybe Oliver is not as bad as as I thought.
Yeah.
That doesn't change. I like what you're saying. I don't think that changes it. That doesn't, you know, negate it in any way. I'm just saying that's what they've been trying to do with the character this season. And I agree with you. I think putting a little more emphasis on Billy and Felicity's relationship and just having it go a little bit longer before they quote unquote pulled the trigger on that one. Mm-hmm. It could only have enhanced it. So, you know, it's basically just Felicity telling us why she's upset. We're not really feeling sure why she's upset, right?
Well, and that's why I can buy it. It's just it didn't feel like quite it fit. So that was my biggest criticism of this storyline and particularly okay. this episode, especially when she's in the van ready to, you know, go in guns blazing. Granted, rubber yeah. bullets, I get that, but I didn't know
we
that
didn't
at
know
the time,
at the time, but, right? She didn't know that at the time.
No,
right. So. Well, what do you feel about that kind of, you know, no matter what ideal of justice where it regardless of the personal cost or the ramifications, in order to bring someone or something to justice, you will do whatever it takes. We kind of actually talked a little bit about this on our Scarlet Velocity podcast. It was in response to a question from the right before the hiatus, but
right.
Is this a good philosophy, do you think?
No.
Okay.
No, and I don't agree with that. And even I don't even know if I expressed myself clearly on Scarlet Velocity, but that was a little bit different situation of just, you know, getting information out of somebody. But no, I don't. I absolutely don't believe on that. I think, you know, when you fight for something, you're fighting for a moral sense of right or an honorable code, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, I think if you do things that violate that code in order to protect it, then you're really not on the right side. I've always liked Green Arrow, even in the darker days. You know, they were very interesting. I didn't always agree with the methods and stuff in the comic books. And there's been a lot of things on this show, on Arrow, on the CW show, that are not things that I'm fond of following typically, but what I do like about this show is that they question those things. You know, they examine those decisions that Oliver has made in these last 5 years of whether they're right or wrong. And he doesn't, I think, and maybe you can disagree with me if you think, but I don't think Oliver believes that what he has done, I mean, like killing people, is yeah. right. You know, I think he believed it a little bit for a while, and then he's really come to the realization that, wow, I wish I had not gone that far.
I think that's probably true. At the time, he felt the justification. That's how we ended the last flashback with him. You know, he was like, I've got to be this darker version of myself in order to, you know, let this let his id out, you know, to kill and stuff like that. And he didn't seem to have any problems with it to begin with. But yeah, like you said, as he's grown, he realized, well, wait a second. You know, this doesn't make me a better person. It's actually making me worse. And so he had to change his methodology about going against the villains. And while he still finds it necessary to kill in the extreme cases, he is willing to go for that third option, right? Just to, you know, there's not just, you know, the A and B choice that he's presented with. He will try to figure out another way. And at this point in this storyline, that's what he's trying to argue with Felicity, that we'll figure something else out. And she, you know, gets sassy with him, and it's like, what, like the tip line? You know, that's not going to work. But, you know, she's just kind of lashing out at him. But, you know, I agree. There is probably another way that, you know, they just have to figure it out. It's not easy.
No.
You know, there's the easy path, but, you know, shortcuts and taking the easy path, you know, what they say about that. It's,
well, and I think the philosophy that Diggle has is probably the closest to my own personal philosophy, you know, is that, and kind of what you just said, we don't know how to stop this. We don't know how to stop this guy, or we don't know how to solve this problem, but we'll find a way, and we'll find a way that fits within our moral code. Now Diggle has had an experience that went against that, and he regrets that too. And that will live with him forever when he had to kill his own brother. But I think that out of all the characters, that's probably the closest to what I feel. And, you know, I mean, who knows when faced with these choices, what each of us would do. I mean, you don't know, hopefully we never have to find out, but, but yeah, I'm kind of with that. I mean, you know, you find something that fits within your thing to solve it. I don't really believe in the, we'll do this no matter what.
Well, while we're on that subject, and since you brought John up, let's talk a little bit about John and Lila. They've been a very strong couple on the show. They are both very driven individuals that have taken different avenues of a military career. Lila now working as the head of Argus, as, you know, head of a secret government organization tasked on protecting the world. And John as, you know, the first officer in a team of vigilante superheroes protecting Starling City and the vicinity, because they do go out of their way, you know, for other places. But
now serving Starling City in its rural areas.
And port whatever it was they went to this this episode. But John, you know, finds out that Lila has, as the director of this top secret spy organization, has been, you know, making excuses to justify her actions. And she's actually taken a person, presumably a citizen of the United States, and incarcerated them without due process. And John is shocked by this. It's outside of his moral code, and he even goes as far at one point, I think, to say that, you know, the woman I love would never do this. Like, he just can't believe that this is what's happening. And I'm just wondering, is Lila really making excuses to justify her actions, or, as she is saying, is it really that much more difficult on that side of the desk, you know, that she is protecting the best interests of the country, and so she's doing what she has to do? It's a very similar argument to Felicity and Oliver, except it's now stepped up to kind of a national level, or an international level.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, you know, having a very close philosophy to Diggle, I would say that she's saying that to justify what she's doing. It's easy to say that, but it doesn't make it right. Just saying it out loud doesn't make it right. You know, I'd say that to my students all the time. You know, this is similar to what Argus was doing when Lila was not in charge, you know, when it was Amanda Waller.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's quite as severe. Maybe it is. I mean, you know, you could look at how much
with the Suicide Squad, right?
Right, right.
Task Force X.
Well, and yeah, I mean, other stuff I'm sure Waller was doing that they didn't really touch on in this show, but, you know, just knowing the history of Amanda Waller. So I guess she was involved in Argus doing that stuff, but she wasn't the one making the decisions. Now that she's the one making the decisions, John is really shocked that she would do that. Her whole promise or goal was to change Argus so they weren't doing things like that. And now she's kind of fallen back into that trap.
Well, but just as devil's advocate, I mean, if this person is as dangerous as everybody says he is, isn't it just better to put them away? You know, they're not killing him, right? They're just detaining him indefinitely without due process.
Where do we draw the line? So who can we not do that to? If we're doing it to this guy, who can we not do it to? How do we know when that's okay, when it's not okay?
Well, see, that's not but that's not my decision. I don't know, because I'm not the head of a super secret government organization,
right?
That, you know, has to determine these things. But
that's
sure
the argument.
Got, right.
Right. I mean, that's what you. That's why you set rules and guidelines and standards, and that's why we have that due process. So nobody has to make that decision. So nobody can be detained without that due process. That way it's fair. And that, I mean, no, supposedly that's what justice is.
But doesn't having all that red tape make it more difficult to put away these terrorists?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's a super secret government organization supposed to do then? I mean, how do they fulfill their mandate in order to protect the country?
You find a way. You find a way that fits within your moral code. Look, you know what? Riding a bike is hard, and doing it without falling and skinning your knees is dang near impossible. But that's how you learn to ride a bike, and that's how you get good at riding the bike. So it's taken us more than 200 years to come up with these rules and guidelines, and so you have to fine-tune them as different generations come and change the rules. You have to continue to change the rules as long as they fit within your thing. So I'm arguing what I think John would argue, but also what I believe as well. So it is difficult. It's always going to be difficult. But if you throw away the rules, then you're doing whatever it takes, and then you're doing what the bad guys do. Isn't that what Prometheus is doing? He's doing whatever it takes to send Oliver to justice, I guess. I mean, he's doing it in his own sick, twisted way, but
I guess. And I mean, I'm going to lump Helix in there as well. I mean, it's all these groups and people, are extremes, right?
Sure.
All
sure.
Having to make these decisions.
And I don't mean to, I hope I don't sound like preachy or anything like that, but that's, I think that's what some of the characters are arguing in this. And even if it is what I believe, you know, I mean, that's, I think that's what they're trying to have the debate about in this series, in this show at least.
Well, can you really, again, sticking with the Diggle and Lila, the discussion here, can you really judge people about decisions that you had no part of? Because in this case, I mean, John, I think John feels like he has the moral high ground in this, but he doesn't know everything that Lila had to deal with in order to make these decisions. And, you know, you were saying, well, we find a way. Maybe this was the best way. maybe this is, they've tried
possibly
all sorts of stuff, and well, this is what it was.
And I'd like to think that's where I differ from Diggle, is that, and by the end of this episode, they're pretty much saying, look, we know where this argument leads us. Neither one of us are going to convince the others, and it looks like it's over for the two.
Yeah.
As you know, I would hope that, and I hope Diggle can do this too, is have that discussion and find more information about it and see if you can at least come to some kind of compromise or understanding of what's going on and how the other person is feeling, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, I found an alternative way to explain why Felicity is so upset. Maybe they can find an alternative way to deal with these troubles Argus is having.
That's perfectly valid point. All right. I don't know. Okay. I don't know that I have anything else I want to add to that. That was
and we don't know anything about Caden James other than that he's dangerous.
You're right. So this is not a character that I couldn't find anything about him in the DC universe or anything like that. So just he's, what did she say, more dangerous than Snowden, Edward Snowden?
Yes.
And we know how dangerous Edward Snowden is. Right?
He's changed my life forever.
Don't we? You're getting snowed in right now, aren't you?
I am getting snowed in. It is snowing outside right now.
Yeah. All right. So I want to talk about a really interesting relationship in this show that I did not expect and did not see coming. And this B storyline was actually the most surprising element of the episode for me and the one that I enjoyed the most. This really just surprised me. Quentin and Renee. So Quentin, don't call me Hoss, Lance, really wants to try to make Renee see the error of his ways in regard to not seeing his daughter anymore. He's done some digging and found out that Curtis had offered this lawyer to help him see his daughter. And I guess he thought it was all stemming from the fact that the mom was killed, right? We didn't have a lot of information, but we knew the mom got killed. Renee was kind of at fault for the whole deal, or at least felt responsible for it. And his daughter was taken away because he just was kind of derelict. I just thought this was a great use of the Lance character, because there's not a lot that he can do other than kind of, you know, well, this is the way I did it when I was in the police force, you know, kind of thing. But yeah. Here it's like, you know what? I had a daughter, and he's got a daughter still. I guess she's back, but whatever. He, he's talking about Laura. It's like he'd give anything to be able to see her again. And he does not want Renee to make that same mistake and not ever see her. Even though Renee's all tough talking and stuff like that, I thought that was a really good use of you know, his backstory and the character.
Yeah, I too was a fan of the Tales of the 5 o'clock Shadow Club. So when you said how Renee kind of lost his daughter, I think probably what happened, and I'm filling in the gaps here, but once his wife had died because of her drug use and. You know, that we saw earlier in the season. I think he probably got real depressed, started drinking a lot. And that's, you know, he was with his daughter at the time, I think. But that's when she was injured pretty badly, it sounds like. She burned. And, you know, when things like that right. happen, the police investigate, you know. And the when, you know, kids go to the hospital, they see what they think happened. And they think if it was a neglectful parent, then they're responsible, and they can take him away. And it sounds like they did. But the thing is, it sounds like he was kind of continuing with his guilt and wasn't pursuing trying to get her back. So,
right.
Fantastic scenes. Powerful.
Yeah. Now I felt that Renee's backstory on that was a little forced. I'm just going to let that slide because I did feel it was very impactful for Renee's character. Just how far he kind of went down the rabbit hole in this whole thing and how much he blames himself. Thought that was interesting. And then I was, you know, I'm watching the episode, right? I'm paying attention. It's not like I was wandering around or anything, but then damn you, Quentin, I was doing fine until you brought Renee's daughter in. And as soon as he stepped aside, I was like, I don't know, there was a bunch of dust in the air here. It got really emotional.
Yeah.
And
I was cutting onions when I was watching that scene. So
it was really well done, because I just thought he was gonna do something to help get his daughter back and, you know, like hire a lawyer. That really just surprised me. And, I just thought it was a really well played scene. And, I thought all the actors did a really good job on that. And again, it kind of renews Quentin Lance's purpose on the show, to be that he went from being kind of a mentor about justice and stuff. He went back to being a father, right? He's now kind of a surrogate father figure for Renee. But he's also portraying how a parent should respond to things and deal with their kids on the show. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah. Very powerful scenes. And I also really, really enjoyed watching that.
And let's see, was this the first episode that has not used a flashback? I want to say there was probably at least one other one at some point, but
I'm pretty sure there was at least one more, maybe in season three, I want to say,
okay.
Or possibly season two. There might have even been two episodes, but it's definitely rare, at least until the end of this season.
Yeah.
And a little curious, too, because we don't have much time left for him to get back to the island and establish where he was when he gets rescued.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, because the last flashback we saw in the previous episode was basically him saying, it's like, well, I just need to get back to Lian Yu. So we may kind of forego flashbacks for a couple of the other episodes here until maybe in the penultimate episode he gets back to the island. And it sounds like the season finale might just be an entirely flashback episode to kind of bridge the show. Or it will be a more flashback heavy episode, let me just say that way. Unless
the season
there's
finale,
reason for it.
Huh?
Yeah. It's coming up. It's only four episodes away.
No, but you think it might be more flashbacks than anything else. I'm surprised to hear you say that. I wonder if it, I don't even know. I wonder if it could be some kind of a balance, connecting the stuff that Chase is mad at Oliver for, to what actually happened to create that. I don't know.
They could do like 20 minutes of flashback and then do 20 minutes of present day, or vice versa. Actually, they probably will end the episode with the flashbacks, because that'll be the connective tissue back to episode one of season one.
Here's what it is. The last scene of the flashback is, it turns out Adrian Chase was on the island. He had super duper long hair, and Oliver needed it, so he had to cut it all off of Chase and use it for himself, so it looked like he'd been there for a long time.
Oh, wow.
There you go. See? That's why he's mad.
I don't know. It's I don't morally buy that. So.
Oh, yeah. That would be crossing the line, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So we've got one piece of feedback here. I don't even remember. Did this come through email? Do you remember?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, and it was quite a while ago, but we've been on a hiatus for so long. So it was a pretty good one.
So it says, "Hi guys, once again, I am so glad that I listened to your podcast. I was really having a hard time reconciling the big revelation in the torture episode with what we'd previously seen until I listened to your commentary. There'd been nothing in the show previously to make me believe that Oliver had some sort of bloodlust or took pleasure from killing. It wasn't until I listened to Josh's explanation about how Chase was gaslighting him that it made sense. I think the last episode really solidified that for me. They did a very good job of making a case that the people around us influence our actions and personalities. Oliver became a better man with Diggle and Felicity, while Anatoly became a worse man without Oliver. I'm now convinced that we shouldn't take Oliver's confession at face value. It was his darkest fear, not his darkest secret. Oliver may believe it because he is always so quick to believe the worst of himself, but I feel like the show has done a good job of proving why Chase is wrong about Oliver. Chase thinks Oliver's friends make him weak and vulnerable when they really keep him strong and grounded. Hopefully, they will continue to talk about this and not just brush it under the rug. It looks like surrounding yourself with friends to keep the darkness away is something that is going to play into Felicity's storyline, too, so I'm hopeful. Love the podcast. Keep up the great work, Janie. So,
hey, see, every once in a while I can say something that kind of makes sense.
Oh, please. You say great stuff all the time. It's just sometimes we're not recording.
Oh, that's right. Right.
But, no, I think those are all good points. It's, and, you know, that's really a lot of the thematic elements that they're dealing with here in the last half of the season. So, it'll be kind of interesting to see what they do in these last four episodes. Thank you for writing in.
Yeah. And I'm always, I like the storylines that, encourage heroes to count on their friends, to rely on their friends. Because that's a, you know, it's a, that is actually a philosophy, you know, that you can find in a lot of different, religions and ways of thought and living your life is that you're never alone. You always rely on somebody else. There's nobody that is completely disconnected from everybody, you know, even if it's just the clothes that you wear were made by somebody else. So
what you're saying is that you get by with a little help from your friends.
Sometimes. Yes. Yes. Do you need anybody? I need somebody to love.
Yeah.
It could be anybody. I just want,
but you need somebody to love. Yeah,
I do. Yeah. Yeah. No, but anyway, I like when shows have those themes and I think Oliver has been learning that, periodically throughout this series that he does need people. Then he forgets for a while and then they have to remind him.
Yep.
And then he forgets and then they're about,
Well, there's only one reference I could really kind of point out in this episode. It was Curtis joking around at the beginning of the episode where he's Roger, Roger, what's your vector, Victor? Great little bit of comedy from the classic movie Airplane from 1980.
So. And when you say great little bit of comedy, that's a matter of perspective. I don't think they all agreed with you.
Oh, that may be true. Yeah.
Wrong place, wrong time. I thought they were just giving him new code names. Oliver was going to be Victor. No, Victor. He's still not wearing his arrow suit, and I'm looking forward to the dramatic
return
mm-hmm. of the suit. Yeah, because after all, this is a Green Arrow story.
Yes. Yeah.
Otherwise, we can't call this a Green Arrow podcast anymore, right? Or an Arrow podcast.
No, we'll just have to call it some vigilante guy.
In a dark suit guy. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, Josh, thanks very much for joining me after our long hiatus. I'm glad we were able to come back. And for now, that's all we've got for this week's episode of Green Justice.
We hope you guys enjoyed listening to us talk about it. And you know what? If you could hop over on iTunes, we would really, really appreciate it. Just leave us a review over there. Write something cool that other people can read and learn about our show. And then they can join in on the fun, too. And we would love to have you guys contact us directly, just like Janie did. Send us an email. greenjustice@randomchatter.com is the email you can send us to. And our Twitter feed is @GreenJusticePod. And, you know, we would also like you to get on Twitter and join in on the contest and see if you can win one of those arrow pins. Just remember, you want to tweet, I want to win an #arrow pin from @GreenJustice and @FanSets. And then follow both Green Justice and FanSets. You can find all the information over there at randomchatter.com. You'll see it there on the front page. And also you can find information on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/greenjusticepodcast.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to giving those pins away. That'll be really cool. You can also check out the other shows Josh and I host, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, which are also available here on the randomchatter.com network. All shows are also available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And of course, if you enjoy the podcast, please be sure to tell your friends. Remember, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. And if you don't keep listening, you have failed this city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.